RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
A happy Monday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. College football is back. We got week zero games coming up on Saturday. And to talk a little Iowa State, Kansas State, we got Travis Hines standing by. We'll get his thoughts on that week zero matchup and also look at Iowa State for the upcoming season. We'll continue our AFC West previews on the show today as we dive in to the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball. The Brewers continue to roll. The Dodgers have an impressive sweep over the Padres over the weekend. We'll look at the top 10 teams in Major League Baseball, and then we'll look at some other Week Zero bets that we have on the card. Iowa State, Kansas State, obviously. Two more games that I like that we will talk about as well. Then we'll wrap up the show with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Chime in at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Monday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Travis Hines, who joins us. Give Travis a follow on X at TravisHines21. Iowa State sports columnist for the Des Moines Register. Kind enough to join us here on Send It In. Travis, we have games this week, my friend. Week zero out in Dublin, Iowa State and Kansas State. Can you just kind of tell us about what maybe Matt Campbell told you guys about what the week is going to look like for Iowa State? When did they arrive in Dublin? Are the players going to get time to explore the city? What's the practice schedule going to look like? Just kind of, if you could, lay out the week leading up to the game on Saturday for Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State's goal with this trip is to try to keep it as standard as possible. So there's not going to be, at least for the team, a lot of pomp and circumstance. They leave Wednesday night, and then with the time change, arrive Thursday morning. They have a walkthrough at Aviva Stadium in Dublin Thursday night. And really, that'll be the extent of what the public sees from them. You know, I believe they do have some practice facilities that are available to them on Friday. And then out in Dublin, the game's at 11 a.m. So they'll be at the stadium 8:30, 9 a.m., ready to rock and roll. It's a very much a business trip, which, you know, if you know Matt Campbell very well, you know that the distractions or getting out of routine is not something that he wants to entertain with his football team, and certainly not a game of this magnitude with the eyeballs that are be on it, and more importantly, the fact that it's a Big 12 game against a rival to open the season.
That's what makes it so unique, right, Travis? Like, we have seen this overseas the last couple of years, Florida State, Georgia Tech. We had Nebraska, Northwestern. We have a lot of great matchups in week one, but just about all of them are at a conference, right? So what makes it unique about that Big 12 game to kick off the season? Iowa State's really not used to that. So what's the kind of added challenge that that provides with two teams that know each other so well to kick off the season?
Yeah, there's just so many layers to it, because if it was just any Big 12 conference game, it's a huge game, right? There's only nine of them. And as we know, as we saw in this new Big 12 last year, it's going to be chaotic and jumbled there at the top and probably throughout the middle as well, with so many teams kind of in the same range. But then you add in the fact that I think Kansas State, you know, pretty easily is their biggest rival in the Big 12 now, with proximity and similarity between the two schools. This is very much a rival game for Iowa State, and then they're both in the top 25. Like, this game also has national implications. It's going to really set the tone. Like, the big part of the problem for the Big 12 in this current era of realignment is that its reputation has been dinged significantly since Oklahoma and Texas left. And that was a big reason why we were in November last year talking about, will the Big 12 champion get left out of the CFP? And I think with this game being a top 25 game, with it being on national television, with it literally being the first game of the season, it has a chance to really set the narrative for the entire league. If both of these teams go out and play well, I think that, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats there for the league in terms of its national reputation. With when you're talking about a 12-team playoff selected by a committee, is really important. So I do think like the stakes of this game are shockingly high for a week zero game in Europe. So it is a massive game for both teams that really, like, if you win this game, you're going to feel like you kind of got a lap ahead on the rest of the Big 12, because not only are you 1-0, but you've got a win against your rival and a team that, with that, either team who wins, that is going to be vying for the spot in Arlington in the Big 12 title game come December.
Yeah, very true. For the game itself, Travis, I mean, these games, as you know, normally come down to the wire, 3-point, 4-point games. The spread is Kansas State -3. Two good defensive head coaches with Klieman and Campbell, but both teams have their quarterbacks returning. So do you see more of a higher scoring game? You think this is a game played in the 20s that comes down to a field goal? How do you kind of see it playing out?
I think a higher scoring game probably works in Kansas State's favor, because if it's high scoring, shoot them up, I think that means that Avery Johnson's probably having a big day, and that's good for Kansas State and bad for Iowa State. And Iowa State obviously has their own weapon at quarterback in Rocco Beck, but are we going to see a dynamic electric offense in week zero from a team that's replacing two NFL wide receivers, that has a offensive line with, I believe, three new starters, most likely a new starting center? It would be a little surprising to see Iowa State come out and be able to put 35, 42 points on the board. I think if it is in the 20s, that helps Iowa State. They do have a seasoned kicker in Kyle Conrardi, who hit a game winner with, I think, 6 seconds left at Iowa, an even bigger rivalry game as a freshman last year. So I think low scoring, if this comes down to kicks, is something that Iowa State feels pretty comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, how about that? First 2 weeks, right? You get Farmageddon and then Iowa, too, to kick off the season. Pretty good. You mentioned Iowa State loses the two wide receivers, Higgins and Noel. Beck is back at quarterback. They return their top two running backs as well. So they're solid at QB and running back, but wide receiver is going to be the big question mark. Travis, give us a name or two of a guy that you think needs to emerge, could step up this season for the Cyclones on the outside.
Yeah, Xavier Townsend and Chase Sowell are the two transfers that they brought in, you know, basically to be Higgins and Noel. Not at, probably at that level, but when you look at what Iowa State has done at wide receiver, really since Matt Campbell has been there, they've recruited it and evaluated it extremely well. Xavier Hutchinson, another Texans wide receiver, they took out of junior college despite him never playing in junior college. They took him out of spring practice there at his Texas junior college. And on down the line, you know, Jaden Higgins, they took out of Eastern Kentucky, you know, basically for free in the NIL era. Like, their evaluation and development of wide receivers has been really good. And I think that's probably why they're feeling solid about where they are, despite having to replace those two guys, because they have a system and they have an evaluation program in place that they feel like you're not going to get Higgins and Noel in terms of their NFL level production immediately, but they do feel pretty good that they were able to plug those holes with two guys that are going to be productive for them.
We're talking Iowa State with Travis Hines here on Send It In. Other side of the ball, Travis, we know Matt Campbell's teams always have good defenses. Do you expect this defense to be another solid unit this year?
Yeah, the floor for Iowa State defensively is always really high. You know, John Haycock, their defensive coordinator, I think is one of the best in the business, and they really have never had a bad defense, you know, really since they've taken over here now in 10 years. Last year was probably as shaky as it's gotten, but they were absolutely decimated at the linebacker position. You know, they were playing guys that probably in spring would have been their 11th, 12th, or 13th best linebacker because of the injuries. The good news for this year for them now is now they have a ton of depth, presuming that all those guys are able to stay healthy. They do have to replace a couple of safeties, but they've had you know, a lot of experience and playing time from the reserves there. The biggest question is going to be at defensive end, because last year Iowa State was last in the Big 12 with just 7 sacks in 9 league games. You know, Dominique Orange is a load for offensive lines to have to deal with on the inside at nose guard, but it it doesn't do much good if he's double teamed and they're not able to win on those one-on-ones on the outside. And last year they were not able to. And if that doesn't change this year, it's going to put a lot of pressure on a secondary that I think will be good, but might take a little while to gel because there's so many new faces back there. So that's the biggest question. Can they pressure the quarterback? And then, you know, how deep do they go at linebacker? Are they going hockey style lines where you're playing 6-9 players there, or are they a little more selective with mixing and matching, you know, based on scenarios and situations?
I mean, looking at the schedule, Travis, it really sets up pretty well for Iowa State, right? They don't have to play Texas Tech, Utah, and Baylor, three teams that are amongst the favorites right now preseason to win the Big 12. The K-State game is obviously neutral site. Iowa is going to be in Ames this year. So just about all their toughest games, they either don't have to play or they're going to be at home or on a neutral site. The win total is at 7.5 right now. Vegas sees Iowa State about an 8-win team coming off their first 11-win season last year. What's your prediction for Iowa State this season? How many wins do you think they get?
I've picked them at 8 wins overall, 6-3 in the league. And I think, again, like whether they're higher or lower than that is probably going to come down to what's their record in one possession games. That's really been the determining factor for Matt Campbell at Iowa State. When they've been good in close games, those are when they have those historic seasons like 2020 or last year when they won 11 games. When those games go the other way, it's more like 2022 where they were 4-8. And I think like the pieces are there for them to be good late in games and in close games. Rocco Becht was outstanding in the clutch last year. And really, when people talk about him and try to compare him to Brock Purdy, it's always that they're so good in the biggest moments and in the biggest situations, and that has propelled Iowa State. Like to me, what's going to be crucial for them is this first four-game stretch, because they're coming back. They get an FCS team after Kansas State and South Dakota. That's a top-five FCS team when you're coming off of now a six-hour time change and about 8,000 miles of travel in 5 days. Then you get the Iowa game the following week, and then a road trip to Jonesboro, Arkansas to take on Arkansas State. So like none of those are daunting games in and of themselves, but when you put all those together in the first four games of the season with the travel, I do think like that is a little trickier than it looks on paper. And I think that'll really set the course of, are they a 9 or 10 win team, or are they, you know, really struggling to get to that 7-8 wins come November?
Travis, about 20-25 seconds left before we let you go. Big 12 this year is as wide open as I've ever seen a league with how jumbled it is with the odds towards the top. Which team in the Big 12 do you think worries you the most if you're an Iowa State fan? On paper, who would be the team that you think could be the best this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be Arizona State, specifically for Iowa State because of what happened in the Big 12 title game last year. That, you know, Arizona State was kind of pulling away in that first half, and then Iowa State had maybe the worst quarter of football I've ever seen in the third quarter of that Big 12 title game that completely blew things open. Arizona State's got to come to Ames in November in what could be a huge, huge, you know, season-determining game on November 1st. So I think that's the game and the team that Iowa State fans have circled for a lot of different reasons. And I think Arizona State's going to be pretty dang good.
Yeah, love it. Great stuff. Travis Hines, give him a follow on X at TravisHines21, Iowa State sports columnist for the Des Moines Register. Kind enough to join us here. Travis, enjoy the game, man. Awesome to have college football back. Have a great season. Hope to catch up with you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great stuff there. Travis Hines, talk a little Iowa State. Let's continue to talk the Cyclones here on Send It In. And again, right, this team and this vibe kind of reminds me a lot of Illinois. You know, we all look at Illinois. They win double-digit games last year, bring back the quarterback, good head coach, favorable schedule, and yet the win total for Illinois is only at about 8.5, right? A little bit spooky. Iowa State, same thing. They win 11 games last year. Win total is 7.5. And it's plus 115 for them to go over. It almost feels like it's too easy with Iowa State. And again, you look at the schedule, very favorable. No Texas Tech, no Utah, no Baylor. And all their Big 12 games are either neutral site or at home, the toughest ones on paper, right? The Arizona State game that Travis was just talking about, that one's at home. The Kansas State game to kick off the season, that's obviously in Dublin. And then, you know, as far as a road schedule goes, like at Colorado, at TCU, at Cincinnati, those are going to be probably some of the worst teams in the Big 12. So pretty easy schedule. I love what he was saying, though, about the first 4 weeks. If you guys have watched this show long enough, you know I love looking for the letdown spots. I love looking for the trap games. And boy, does Iowa State have some interesting ones in the first four games. Week 1, kick off the season, top 25 matchup against a rival overseas. And then you got to come back home and you got to play in Ames against South Dakota. And I will tell you guys this, Iowa State, it feels like the last 5 or 6 years, have really struggled in their home opener against like FCS teams. I feel like those games always go in the fourth quarter and they're close. So keep an eye. I have a feeling we might be on South Dakota in week two. And then you get the Cy-Hawk game in week three at home in Ames after maybe a little bit of a letdown in South Dakota. Get everybody up for that in-state rivalry. And then week four, you have to go on the road and play a group of five team at Arkansas State before the bye week. Super, super interesting start to the schedule where it's like you get up for a game, letdown game, get up for a game, letdown game again. And then that Big 12 schedule again, even though on paper it looks easy, it just, the fact that that win total is at 7.5, I think is really speaking to me. It's a big part of why I like Kansas State in that game against Iowa State, because that just feels like a game, if Iowa State's going to go under their win total, they're probably going to need to lose. Any of those coin flip type games, Iowa State, even though Travis has talked about it, the years they've been good, they win those games. The years they haven't, they haven't won those close games. That's how Matt Campbell builds his team. He builds it on defense, fundamentals, running the football, and that's what they're going to look to do again this year. Rocco Beck is coming back, going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the Big 12 as well, but I just think that schedule is really interesting. Iowa State this year, on paper, as the season starts, probably only going to be an underdog in two, maybe three games this season. So very interesting for a team that made it to the Big 12 title game last year, won 11 games for the first time ever in school history. Bring back the quarterback, bring back the running back, continuity at the coaching staff, going to have an upgraded defense. Very interesting that their win total is only at 7.5. Iowa State, for me, would be one of those college teams that, again, if you're going to bet them, I would go big on the Cyclones, because I think either this is a 6 or 7 win team, or I think this is a team that could go back to the Big 12 title game, because the line, the win total, is telling me that this team's probably going to end up winning 7 games this year. But I think there absolutely is a scenario where Iowa State wins 10 regular season games again. They find their way into the Big 12 championship again because they don't have to play a lot of the top teams in the conference. They could find themselves back in Dallas. So for them to make the Big 12 title game plus 500, for them to win it 12-1, I would just take them to win the Big 12, because in the Big 12, it's not like these other leagues, you know? In the SEC, if you're taking a flyer with like an Oklahoma, an Auburn, a Florida to win the SEC, and they make it, if they play Georgia, Bama, Texas, they might be like double-digit dogs in that game, right? Big Ten, same thing. If you're taking Nebraska, Washington, one of these teams, they play Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon, they're going to be big dogs. Big 12, that's not going to be the case. So if you do like Iowa State, just bet them to win the league. You might get a good hedge number if they end up making it to the title game. All right, let's talk a little Los Angeles Chargers here on Send It In as we continue talking some AFC West. And the Chargers, for me, are the same team as the Broncos, right? You had a coach take over in his first year last year, Sean Payton and Jim Harbaugh. Both guys are terrific, two of the best in the league, and they change the franchises overnight. They change the teams overnight. Both guys get their team to the postseason, and both teams have some hype and some expectations around their team going into this year. But just like the Broncos, I told you guys, I think Denver can go over their 9.5 win total. I think Denver can make the playoffs. I feel the same way about the Chargers. I think LA can win 10, 11 games. I think they can go to the playoffs. Would I ever trust the Chargers, though, to beat some of the top teams in the AFC? Absolutely not. I think a lot of you guys know how I feel about Justin Herbert. I think he's maybe the most overrated quarterback in the NFL, one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL, without question. His arm strength is ridiculous. He's a great athlete. But we talk about this guy like he is the top five, top six quarterback in the league, and I honestly just don't get it. Justin Herbert's never won a thing in his life. He doesn't elevate his teammates around him, it feels like. I get the receiving core has not been great the last couple years, but the guy just threw 5 interceptions against the Texans in the playoff game. You know, he has not been good in the biggest games, and he was that way at Oregon for the most part as well. So as talented as he is a top 5, top 6 talent in the NFL. Quarterback, though, no chance. And that's why I'm just never high on the Chargers. And it's a shame because I think Jim Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in the NFL. Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator, is a rising star. But the combo of Justin Herbert, who I think is very overrated, and Greg Roman, his offensive coordinator, who as a Ravens fan, I can tell you guys, is the worst. Year one of Greg Roman, that's when you want to buy in. Years two, years three, years four, yeah, I'm good. The reason I think the Chargers are going to maybe win 10, 11 regular season games this season are because of the way that the schedule holds up. Just like the Broncos, the Chargers were a team that feasted when they were a favorite last year. When the Chargers went up against teams where they were 7-point favorites in those games, 4-point favorites in those games, the Chargers would win. When they would go up against the top teams in the league, they would lose those games. And because they really didn't do anything to upgrade the offense all that much, and now, I mean, they get rid of Slater. I love Amarion Hampton. I think he's going to be terrific. They do bring back Keenan Allen, but you still don't have that difference maker on the outside, and losing Slater is so massive. I do love Amarion Hampton, though, to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. That is the bet I would make on the Chargers, and we've talked about this for much of the offseason. We gave it out at 14-1. It's now at 7-1, so I obviously don't love it as much, but I think he's going to win. The Slater injury is obviously a big deal, but because they still lack a little bit with the weapons at receiver, Greg Roman is your OC, Jim Harbaugh is your head coach. Their identity is running the ball. That's what they want to do. That's what they brought Hampton in for. Najee's dealing with a bunch of different things. So the price got cut in half. Obviously like it better at 14-1, but I still think the guy wins the award. So I like him at plus 700. Nothing big, nothing long-term for the Chargers, though, for me. Marion Hampton, Offensive Rookie of the Year, the only bet I would look at when it comes to L.A. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and short game parlays brought to you by the Sportsbook born in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today, please gamble responsibly. Talk a little baseball here on this Monday. And on Mondays, we love doing our top 10s, our top 10 teams in Major League Baseball. And we got a new team at the top, and it's really no surprise to anybody. The Milwaukee Brewers have to be the number one team right now in Major League Baseball. Anybody that tells you they aren't are lying to themselves. Now, would I bet the Brewers to win the World Series? No. I think they're peaking too early, and I would rather them obviously play like this at the end of September heading into October. But, I mean, they just won 14 games in a row. Their pitching has been awesome. Their hitting has been awesome. And they're finding every way to win games. The other night, they were down 8-1 to the Reds. They come back to win that game 10-8. Yesterday, they were down 1-0 in the ninth. They hit a two-run home run to take a 2-1 lead. They end up losing that game, but they almost pulled off another crazy victory. It's unreal that they have an 8-game lead over the Cubs in that division, considering Chicago was up for like the first 3 months of the year. But they're the hottest team in baseball, and they're the best team in baseball as of today. Dodgers are number two, just swept the Padres in a big series in the NL West. San Diego took a small lead over the Dodgers in the division, and then it's almost like that woke the Dodgers up, right? This was like a show-me series for the Dodgers. They answered the bell and once again showed when you need their best, they delivered. Dodgers number two team. Padres, I'll still put them at number three. For me, Brewers, Dodgers, and Padres, I think, are the top three teams in baseball as of now. And I really don't think that's a debate at this point, just because of the injuries that the Phillies are dealing with a little bit at the moment. But that the talent that the Padres have, obviously they got to figure out how to get over the Dodgers. They did beat them in the postseason a couple years ago. You would have liked to seen them win a game against LA, but they're starting to get healthy. Michael King is going to return here at some point. I like the Padres 12-1, number three. Phillies, I'll put them at four. Maybe would be at number three, but with Zach Wheeler going on the IL, Duran suffering an injury, oof, not great. Losing one of the best closers and one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball. Tigers, I'll put them at number five, first AL team to crack the top 10. Detroit 10-1 to win the World Series right now. Even though Detroit wouldn't be my pick to get to the World Series. At this point in time, I think they're the best team in the American League. Obviously got off to that crazy start. They were really struggling out of the All-Star break, but now they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're starting to pick it up a little bit. Detroit's number 5. I'll put Houston at number 6. They got smoked by Baltimore in a couple games over the weekend, but they're also starting to get healthy. Peña's back. Christian Javier's back. They make the trade for Correa. Yordan Alvarez is on his way. So I think with the Astros bringing guys back, they'll start to turn into the Astros a little bit. I'll put them at number 6. Blue Jays just continue to win games. I don't know how they do it, but they just do it. They find ways to win. My problem with the Blue Jays, they're so good at home, but when they go on the road, they're just an okay team. I still don't love their manager, John Schneider. I still don't know if they're built for the postseason. I'll put them at number 7. The Mariners are built for the postseason because of their pitching staff and their lineup. This is the best lineup that Seattle has had in these last like 3-4 year run when the pitching has been good enough for them to get to a World Series. They might have the AL MVP in Cal Raleigh. I just got to see it with Seattle before I can get there. We'll put them at number 8. Yankees are number 9. Nice sweep over the weekend of St. Louis. Kind of quiet the chatter a little bit. Starting to play better baseball. Pitching is starting to get a little bit better. The bullpen's starting to get a little bit better. We'll put them at number 9. And then the Cubs will be at number 10 for me. The Cubs really missed out on adding to this roster at the trade deadline. That lineup has been way too hot or cold. PCA looked like an MVP early on in the season. So did Kyle Tucker. And that's why the Cubs were as good as they were. Now with both those guys struggling, that lineup is starting to struggle and the pitching is starting to falter a little bit as well. We'll put the Cubs at number 10 at 16-1. So that's your top 10. Brewers, Dodgers, Padres, Phillies, Tigers, Astros, Blue Jays, Mariners, Yankees, and Cubs. All right, let's talk a little college football, you guys. Games I would bet right now. It's a Monday. We got week 0 coming up on Saturday. 3 bets that I would make right now in college football. Going to be my only 3 bets of the week, possibly, as of now. Still got a lot of time left before week 0. You know I'll be itching at the bit. Probably will bet some more games. But as of now, current numbers, these are the 3 games that I would look at. The first one's going to be the total in Iowa State and Kansas State, and I'm going under 49.5. I do lean towards K-State in the game. Probably will end up betting them money line, but I do like the under, right? You think about the last two years that we've had these overseas game, Nebraska, Northwestern, Florida State, and Georgia Tech. Not only is the underdog played well in the game, which does worry me a little bit about Kansas State, but it's also been lower scoring games. It makes sense. You're going overseas, time change, a lot of distraction, playing in a stadium you never played in before, 50-50 game to kick off the year, a whole bunch of things. And with all the familiarity and with the way that these two teams know each other, usually low scoring games that come down to the wire. To me, this feels like a 23-20 type game, 24-20 type game. So take the 49.5, take the hook while you can. I don't know if that hook's going to be there when we get to kickoff, but I like the under in Iowa State and Kansas State. Western Kentucky, I'm taking them minus 10 against Sam Houston State. The reason is the coaching. You have Tyson Helton, who's the coach of Western Kentucky. He's been there 7 years for the Hilltoppers, done a great job. They're usually in a bowl game every single year. They only return 3 starters because they got ravaged by the transfer portal, as a lot of these group of 5 schools do. But because he's such a good coach, he figures it out every year, and I trust him to have his guys ready. Meanwhile, Sam Houston State's bringing in a new head coach in Phil Longo. He was the OC in North Carolina, has been with Wisconsin the last couple years. As somebody who watches a lot of college football, I just think Phil Longo stinks. I think he's going to stink as a head coach, so I'm very much looking forward to fading him in week 1. We'll take Western Kentucky minus 10. And then finally, Hawaii minus 2.5. against Stanford. It's what I love about college football. We get to the start of the season and we're learning about who the head coaches are, who the new coordinators are for a bunch of these different teams. How about Frank Reich is the coach for Stanford? Yeah, that Frank Reich, who was the coach in Indy and with Carolina. Guy's not good. He's a stopgap coach. Andrew Luck takes over as the GM. That's his guy, bringing him in to just try and have a season, right? Just something. before they finally get their guy next year. I think Stanford's going to be awful, maybe the worst team in Power 4 football this year. Meanwhile, Hawaii, Timmy Chang is in his fourth year. This should be his best team that he has had with the Bows so far. And their redshirt freshman quarterback, Micah Alejado, I think is going to be pretty good this season. It's somebody to watch out of the Mountain West. So I do like Hawaii, -2.5. We're fading Frank Reich and Stanford in week zero. All right, my favorite plays of the day. Let's wrap the show here on Send It In. PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, we're taking him to get a base hit today against Freddie Peralta. That game gets going here in about an hour or so. PCA, 5-for-9 in his career against Peralta. Obviously, he's been slumping a little bit, but this is a guy that he has seen well so far in his career, so we'll take PCA to get a base hit. How about Mookie Betts under 1.5 total bases today at +125 against the Rockies? Mookie Betts in his career against Kyle Freeland for the Rockies, 7-for-34. Freeland's actually got some good history against a lot of these guys in the Dodgers lineup playing for the Rockies. He's faced them plenty of times. Mookie has not fared all that well. We'll go under 1.5 total bases, +125 for Mookie today against Kyle Freeland. Orioles are going to be my dog of the day at +100 against the Red Sox. We're still disrespecting Trevor Rogers. This guy's been like the best pitcher in baseball for the last 2.5 months, and nobody's talking about it because he pitches for the Orioles, and the Orioles have been very disappointing this year. But as we talked about in his last start, this guy's numbers have been ridiculous. He's an underdog just about every game he takes the mound, and the O's usually play well, and he's usually pitching incredible. So we'll take the O's at +100 today against Boston. And then my best bet, Kevin Gausman, Paul Skenes, Blue Jays, Pirates. We're going first five under 3 runs at +100 today. Gausman's been good for the Jays. Skenes has obviously been very good for the Pirates, the favorite right now to win NL Cy Young. And after a bad start against Milwaukee, I would expect Skenes to bounce back today. We're going first five under in Pirates and Blue Jays. Thanks again to Travis Hines for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Nick Kenyon going to join us tomorrow. Also talk a little Texas Tech on the show and some Las Vegas Raiders. See you guys then. Have a good one.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.